Are you ready for this? Let's get ready to podblast! I'm pumped as hell! England versus South Africa 2020, a brief history of cricket. 2020 tips for the World Cup, my tip for the tipster's top for the 2020 top. Carberry Corner and pettiness, the English cricket epidemic. Oh, zap attack. Oh, I'm tired after that.
Wow. I try to restrict the amount of heavy breathing you do on the blast.
I know,
but
you
every
try.
Time,
I'll always sneak some in there.
We're getting breathless from so much 2020.
Oh, God.
So exciting.
Hasn't it been great that the one 2020 we've watched, it was awful, wasn't it? We were pretty rubbish. What were your thoughts?
Well, we've come here tonight. Tonight we're recording this from a secret location in the heart of London.
As
on
always.
Monday night. It's the 10th of September.
Yep.
And England were due to tee off against South Africa at about 6:30 this evening. We thought, a test match sofa.
Yeah,
we'd watch a little,
watch
speak
a little, talk
live.
A little. Just give it a go. We're not stealing the idea. We just thought we'd give it a go. I mean, I don't know. It might be really good. Might be really bad. I don't know. We just thought we'd give it a go.
Thank you for the disclaimer for legal purposes.
Yeah.
But absolutely nothing's happening, and it's going to be a washout, Ross.
Yeah,
which, if you're Stuart Broad and the England team, the way they played in the first game.
Mm.
They'll be pleased with that as progress, won't they? It being completely rained off.
Yeah, that's progress. That's good. That's one step better than losing horribly. And Hashim Amla is back in the team again. We're just watching him bat for hours.
So really, we spared ourselves an entire evening of just watching Hashim Amla bat for 20 overs.
Yeah.
Constantly looking like he really might get out, because I always think he might get out.
Yeah.
He moves so far over into his off stump.
He does. He's good, though, isn't he?
And yet he has a sense of permanence. That's the paradox of Amla.
I know. It's that beard. It's that weighty beard. That is the thorn beard in the side of England's side.
Interesting metaphor there, and Ross.
Yeah,
been working on that for a little while.
Quote, that's actually a Seamus Heaney quote. Oh. The heavy beard that is the thorn beard that is the thorn in the England side. That's, I think it's in one of his later
poems.
Oh,
I thought that was a tit. Anyway. So, first game, the 2020.
Mm.
Well, I've got a view on it.
Yeah.
But I'd like to do it through the medium of song,
okay.
If I may.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Okay.
Let's cue it up. And just by way of explanation for this little musical interlude.
Okay.
In trying to find out why England did so badly the other day and trying to pinpoint a reason, I asked around and I managed to find the famous early 90s singer Corona.
Oh.
And I asked Corona, you know, why have England lost?
Where was she?
She was at the ground.
Okay.
And she responded, "It's the omission of Luke Wright. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Omission of Luke Wright.
It's the omission of Luke Wright. Oh, yeah.
Luke Wright. Luke Wright. Luke Wright. Omission of Luke Wright.
It's the omission of Luke Wright.
Oh, Luke Wright.
Oh, yeah.
Omission of Luke Wright. Oh, you're a one.
That took me at least 48 hours to plan.
Really? Or just to work out? Like, you knew there was a
I knew
joke.
There was something there somewhere.
Yeah, I
knew there was something. I think it was really worth it.
I think it was worth it. I absolutely bloody
loved
it.
Every minute, yeah.
To put a serious eye on the game, I think we don't play enough 2020, do we, to get in our groove.
Oh, here we go. We're about to talk about crowded calendars again.
Well,
the England team, prior to the last World Cup, hadn't played any real 2020, had they?
Well, I think they'd had a few warm-up games. I mean, all I'm saying is that, you know, let's not lose hope too early. I mean, they're a very good side in all formats of the game, South Africa, and let's not get our heads down. We've got some terrific players. And I think Luke Wright will be an excellent... He might even be, as we speak, proving me wrong, but I think he will be an excellent addition to the squad. He's another 2020 specialist and a big hitter. And if he gets in, or if any one of those top six really
they're
get in...
They're in dire need of big hitters, aren't they? I mean, watching the other day... Ticking along, trying to get to six and over, it was awful.
It was.
It made you dream of IPL.
It did, but it's that, you know, IPL has its moments as well of boredom, of looking like neighbours, as we've suggested before. But it's timing of the innings in the 2020. It's an interesting game. It's developing a bit more shape. The game of 2020, I think.
Well, I'm a bit worried that 2020, rather like 50-50, has developed the equivalent which is the middle over accumulation period.
There is.
I mean, it's 2020. The whole reason is supposed to do away with the accumulation period.
Yeah, but England paid the price for not accumulating. That would be my thesis.
Why? Because they were just hitting out so much.
They were trying to, but they just get and one of them would play himself in, and then he'd play himself out.
Yeah. No, I see what you mean. Well, who is your tip for the World Cup coming up then, Ross?
Do you know what? You know, with no partisan feeling at all, I'm going to say England.
Really?
I think they might come back.
Well, here's my tipster's tip for 2020 top. New Zealand. What do you think about that?
Well, like New Zealand, I think they're a good team. They've got some really good hitters in there. I don't know whether they've got any of the old boys still
they
in
do,
there.
They do. See, this is what sparked it. Oh. As always, interview with Franklin on cricinfo.com.
Great player.
Who's in charge of the 2020 team. And he was saying that this is pretty much the last tournament for those guys. And we're talking about the McCullums. We're talking about Oram.
Oram.
Vettori. Where's Southie? I haven't seen him on the list.
Styrus?
He's an IPL. No.
Oh.
No, strange that.
But Oram's very, very useful. Oh, that could be a really good... Well, I'm excited about them. We'll talk more about this probably nearer the time. I'm excited about the West Indies. They, I think, is a 2020 outfit. They've got some terrific hitters.
Yeah.
You know, Samuels et al. They can all... They're really hit a cricket ball. At Pollard, particularly.
Who do you think's weak then? We've talked about a lot of teams that are strong, and I think you'd say South Africa, India, England,
hopefully.
Maybe New Zealand. Yep. You know, Pakistan are always going to be there or thereabouts. Australia ranked below Ireland at the moment.
Are they? Probably quite rightly, because of all the teams, I can't see Australia doing very well.
Isn't that weird
to say?
Don't you think that's odd for a team that's going to open up with Watson and Warner?
To be honest, I don't know whether I'm that afraid of Watson and Warner, really.
Well, the other thing that surprised me about the Australia team is half of the IPL is Australians.
Well, that's true. That is true.
They should be well grouped. They haven't got a spinner.
It's that unholy union, though, between India and Australia that they can't break. They just think there's great value in those Australians. But I think it's one of the things that's made the game like neighbours and a little bit boring.
Mm. All right, well, my tip for the top, if you've got a spare tenner out there and you don't want to spend it on...
rubbish. Or, you know, pay for sex or anything.
Yeah. And if you've got any particularly bad personal debts and you're looking for an easy way out...
Yeah.
Consolidate all your debts.
And one easy bet.
On New Zealand.
On New Zealand.
Yeah, you heard it here. And I am liable if they lose. Come and take it from me directly.
Wow, okay. It's a good job we're broadcasting from that secret location, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Woo! All right, 2020 World Cup. Let's move on to a brief history of cricket. Ross has just told me, as the music's playing, that despite the fact he's been telling me for about a month now that you're ready to present on a brief history of cricket, you've actually prepared nothing, am I right?
I've prepared, I only realised as the music was playing, I haven't really prepared this at all.
Can you imagine the equivalent scenario in Starkey's A History of the Tudors?
Yeah.
And for a month they plan and they set up the shoot and they pitch up with a castle in the middle of nowhere and they've got the cameraman and they've got it all set aside at BBC Pride Time and Starkey goes...
Yeah. I'm sorry, I haven't got a fucking clue what I'm going to say. I don't know what David Starkey talks like, obviously, but that's like a historian voice.
I've got a suggestion for you. Now, why don't we do a brief history of cricket from when we can actually remember?
I'm going to talk as fast as I can. Now, the Greg Doran, the RSC artistic director, had one of his past tricks. He can do the prologue from Romeo and Juliet in 30 seconds. Now, this proves both that
quite the centre of the party.
Well, it is indeed. It proves both that Shakespeare can be spoken trippingly on the tongue as Hamlet in his advice to the players, and that it can be understood very quickly. I think that the same thing might hold. I'm going to try and say everything I know about cricket in a minute.
Yeah.
And then people can sort of break that down to bite-sized chunks later on.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Slow it down, replay bits they like.
Just before you do it, can I make a cricketing confession, which is to do about knowledge of cricket? Mm. I was playing 2 weeks ago, and I was trying to sweep a dibbly-dobbly off-spinner, and it hit me slap bang in the balls. I was wearing a box, fortunately.
Crikey.
I was... given out, and I gave the umpire nothing more than a dirty look. Nothing more than
nothing
that.
More. No dirty words.
And I walked off mumbling to myself. And members of the team inquired of me, "Well, what was wrong? Was it going down leg?" And I said, "No, it's slap bang in front of the stumps, but it hit my balls. It didn't hit my leg." It was then that I was referred to the laws of cricket,
yeah,
which indicate that it need not hit your leg.
No.
It can hit anything in front of the stumps. It could be your helmet. I did not know that rule. I'm ashamed to say it.
Well, that's...
And by telling the world, or at least our listeners,
yeah,
we're just too close in number.
I think it's, look, this whole section is about trying to galvanise the sporting community, those newfound sport lovers that didn't know they could love sport, but they've been watching the fantastic Olympians and Paralympians. They've been embroiled in the human drama of the Olympics, mm-hmm. and we want that to move over some of that love to cricket, this great game that we love so much, and we want to harbour and foster that interest and put it into the 2020 World Cup.
Okay,
and see if we can build that kind of carnival atmosphere. And I think the only barrier is people's understanding of cricket. And if I can help that in any way, then I will do that, because I want to recruit people to this terrific game and I want them to love it as much as I do.
Mm-hmm. The only thing we have to work against then is the ignorance of the general population.
Or let's call it lack of cleverness.
Well, good. Shall we begin? Yeah. Shall we with the introduction? Well, this is going very well. It's going very well.
It's going
very well, Ross. Well, after that chitter chatter, begin.
As far as I'm aware, cricket began with two teams. I think they were in Surrey, were they? Surrey, something like that. And then they decided that they'd play one with a crook. It was like a shepherd's crook. It was a game created by shepherds. And a guy threw a ball towards the guy who'd hit it. Then it put up two stumps and thought, if you can hit one of those stumps, that person's out. Or if you catch him out, that will be a way of being out. Then what happened is they said, Lumpy Stevens, one of the great cricketers of the age, kept putting the ball between the stumps and was saying, look, I'm the best bowler out there and I'm not getting any recompense. I keep putting the ball right through the stumps. How accurate is that? So they put another stump in, a middle stump, and then decided to put bails on to decide exactly if someone's out. So you're only out when you're bowled if the bails come off. You're also out, you can be out caught, you can be out legged before wicket, even if it hits you, say, on the head. Just any bit of your body that isn't the bat, stopping it from hitting the stumps, as Al didn't know, it hits balls. The other ways you can be out include interfering with the field and generally just being not very nice.
5 seconds.
Then the game became a fantastic
Two.
Game. Number one team is England.
Well, unfortunately, the tape broke right at the end. That could be lost forever.
Let's
you
hope
did
not.
Get rather stuck on how to get out.
How to get out? I mean, I did. I thought other ways. What
so
are other
many
ways?
Different. Well, not that. Just so many different aspects of cricket. But your summary was very much focused on ways
how to get
you
out.
Can get out.
I'll pick that up next week. So look at, you know, everyone has got that. Just keep replaying that to yourself, and that will even while you sleep maybe, and you'll be a little bit wiser the next time you watch.
Okay, let's get cricket specific. For those of you wondering, our secret location in the heart of London isn't in London, South America. That's the sound of crickets.
You get it? That's the sound of crickets.
Yeah. Let's get cricket specific, Ross. Let's get serious here for a second.
So in what sense do you want to get cricket specific?
Long-running campaign here.
Ooh,
on the Pop Blast.
The Carberry Corner.
Carberry Corner. And now is crunch time for the campaign.
Yeah.
Rather like the US presidential campaign, we're really moving into the important time.
I'm spending a lot of money on dinners, breakfasts. I'm just campaigning. I'm getting money from lobbyists.
Yeah.
And we're getting behind.
You're wining and dining the right people.
I'm wining and dining the rich. I'm sleeping with a lot of older ladies at the moment,
mm-hmm.
who are
Good.
Very well off.
No, I hope you're enjoying that.
I don't know why I'm doing that.
In November, the big decision's going to be made. The big decision that could affect how 300 million people feel. No, I'm not talking about the US presidential election. I'm talking about Michael Carberry opening for England on tour in India and how the Indians feel when he's hit a century.
Yeah.
Carbs, have you been doing recently? Will the power of the statistic back up what we've been saying? I tell you what, it's a hell of a one-day player nowadays, isn't he, the CB40?
Maybe more of a one-day player, but keep that under your hat.
Controversial. He played against Essex the other day and scored 42... and 6.
Look, that's not too bad. If he got that in his first test, you'd go, he's got potential.
I mean, his first test, he got 34.
You have to put a bright complexion on this.
This is a guy with a first-class average now of, 43.54. That's not bad going.
Pretty good.
For an opener. He's had his chance. I think he is the he hasn't next had his cab chance. Off the rank.
Do you think he's the next? Well, the next cab off the rank is, isn't that what it says about him on crickinfo.com?
That's exactly, I think he is.
As well.
You know what else I think is important? I think it's important to have an independent point of view.
Absolutely.
And I think he's the next cab
he's
off the rank.
He's the next cab off the rank. He's a terrific player. We're all behind Michael Carberry. Other opinions are available.
Ah, now this is, I fear, the section where you tell me that Michael Carberry shouldn't be going to India.
I will not do that. Michael Carberry, I'd love him to go to India. He looked great out there, having fun.
You know what confused me about Michael Carberry? His nickname is Carbs. Do you think that's because he eats lots of rice and potatoes?
Oh, come on. You know his name's Carberry. It's one of the, that's the default. Usually if people have three cricket names, they get things like Susan Boyle for Jack, what's his name?
That's a good one.
But your first one's always the old play on your own last name, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
That's what I have to go with. But look, he'd be brilliant out there. We'd love to see him out there. So if you get, you know, Carberry T-shirts, checkbook and pens, memorabilia, sweatbands, souvenirs, hats that say Carberry for England, we're not going to make them, but I invite you to make your own.
Well, this is one of our long-running sections. Mm. It's time for Pet Peeves.
Pet Peeves. Pet Peeves. I got more pet peeves than you believe.
Really beautiful.
I was cut off in my prime then. You just stopped playing.
That's all right, I got bored.
It hurts getting off that piano, I lie on, while you play that
you know
for me.
You know what I just did just then?
Came?
I got petty.
Dear, that's cut that out.
That is horrible.
Not really.
No, we'll keep going. We're going to carry on.
Because we can't be bothered.
It's shameless. I want to talk about pettiness. And I want to begin with another P. P is for Peterson.
Ooh.
I read this with... Well, the normal degree of semi-orgasmic enjoyment with which I always greet anything written by George DeBell.
Of course.
But this is quite something because this is a headline from a couple of days ago and this hasn't been picked up on by any of the other press. And I think the reason for this is that the vow of silence around the negotiations with Peterson at the moment are genuinely held by both sides. And somehow DeBell, being the journalist that he is...
he's got in there.
Oh, he's old school, has got somebody to speak.
He's got in there and he's ferreted out the truth.
And he's managed to get some sort of comment, which I can only imagine comes from the ECB side.
Who is his mole? Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, DeBell.
Yes, that's a film I'd pay to watch. The title of this article is Peterson Names Twitter Suspects.
Ah, I see.
And in summary, it turns out that the first meeting between Peterson and Flower on Saturday, the same day this story comes out, so this is a quick leak, basically indicates that he's still annoyed and wants an investigation into how things that he says could only have been said in the dressing room managed to find their way to the parody Twitter account that was run notoriously by Stuart Board's friend who
Stuart
also
Board.
Lived yeah do you know Board?
Yeah.
and the two other Nottingham players the guy lives with and so basically what the crux of Peterson's point is you know I get in trouble for tweeting all the time but these are my two England compatriots and they're taking things that I'm saying in the dressing room in private and they're passing them on to somebody else someone close by and after all it wasn't just some member of the public on the Twitter it was someone with Nottinghamshire connections. And
was it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Who is
he? Yeah,
he.
He's got a name. It's out there, but he lives with a couple of them, and they are taking the Mickey out of me. And all I say is this: it's not all I'm going to say.
Yeah, what are you going to say? You've said a lot already.
Yeah, the first thing I'm going to say: I've gone McGlashan on you, haven't I? I don't think I've breathed in the last 10 minutes.
I love McGlashan.
The first thing to say is, if Swan and Broad have been doing this. They're good England players. In fact, they're very good England players.
Yep.
But are they so very good that they can just afford to piss off maybe the most talented England player of this generation?
Yeah.
And maybe there'll be a reckoning one day for the damage that they've done to a team that had number one status.
Yes.
And which has imploded And I think a lot of the time, there's very much, particularly within cricket circles, a sort of matey good guyness. Peterson's an outsider, you know, and Swan and Broad and Anderson are English royalty and funny and charming.
Let me stop you there, because you've been going on, I
I
think,
have been
for
for a
18
while.
minutes, I think, by my count. But it's, are you suggesting there's going to be some sort of reckoning whereby Graham Swan and James Anderson are going to be have some sort of hellfire brought on them by some sort of second coming style sexual sort of post apocalyptic Jesus?
Well, have you read the Bible, the 1963 Wisdom? Have you read the Bible?
Well, so there might be recompense. I think there could be recompense, ultimately. I mean, there's that is that. I mean, I don't think we're giving anything away to say that. I think that seems to be the Anderson Swan versus KP seems to be the big rift in the dressing
Yeah, well,
room.
Broad apparently is now being included within it as well. This is a funny old thing. This
Bored.
whole spat is ridiculous and incredibly entertaining, and
It
long
is.
may it continue.
Yes. You have you started to throw your in? Have you tried to sort of, maybe we should start trying to create a few more rumours about. No, we shouldn't do that because we care about English cricket. We love a good, we love cricket and we love gossip, and God knows we love cricket gossip.
God knows, yeah.
But but for the good of the game, maybe shut it off. But
But
for
if
the
it's true that Peterson went in there after all those months and all the things he's been let out, all those problems that he's gone through, and in the
He hit
very
me,
first,
sir. He hit
in the
me.
very first meeting with Flower, goes, "I want you to investigate
Yeah.
what happened on that parody Twitter account."
Yes. He was saying things about me, and then he hit me with, and then he got, he's calling me a gay, sir.
I mean, that would be really
That
pitiful,
would
wouldn't
be,
it?
but maybe he did. Maybe on the back of the team bus, Swan holds him down, and Anderson farts in his face.
I've got another little bit of pettiness that's come out today, but this one I really enjoyed. And this is an extract that was serialised in a national newspaper from James Anderson's autobiography,
Oh, yeah.
where he says that Vaughan wasn't all he was cracked up to be as a cricket captain,
Yeah.
which is a music to my oversized ears, Ross. For as much as he had a beautiful cover drive, I can't help but sense that Vaughan is even more of a tit than I am.
This is such a. I like the sort of abuse that we're handing out, which is saying, look, I'm not a great guy, but this guy, he's worse than
Do you
me.
know what I just did? I just did the oral equivalent of the visual experience, which is having the same person give both their middle finger and a thumbs up to you at the same
Yeah,
time.
that's
And
very
I've just done
nice.
it to Vaughan.
There should be a sound that goes with that.
We should have some sort of video cast, and it would just be me.
Yeah,
Yeah,
giving
doing it.
both.
Yeah, and then
I
he'd
don't
probably
know.
kill me.
No, I tell you what, I like Mikey Vaughan. I mean, of course,
We
many do.
multi-blast,
We
and you recommended
multi-blast
the
the
Tuffers
Tuffers and
and
Vaughno.
Vaughno
I
show
like
on
it very
Radio
much.
5 Live. Bilgewater, Ross.
You thought it was
Bilgewater.
too
But there
matey.
again, you like the film Due Date, so
I
you
like
know.
Due Date.
But there again, I like
Check it
Michael
out.
McIntyre. So
Oh,
we all
God.
have, you know, here we go
We've
again
all got our
with your
scruples.
Stuart Lee and your liberal left wing. Anyway, here we go. So
Oh, do we know? If we try to microwaves, that'd be funny. Microwave meals. You put it in. You do the 60 seconds, and then you go 60 seconds, and then it goes for 61. It's like, oh, my meal's too hot.
Ross's impression of Phil Tufnell really needs some work, doesn't it?
That was Michael McIntyre.
I don't like Vaughan. I think it's all mock matiness. And then they're like, what do you think of that there, mate? Oh, it's all right there,
Are you suggesting that they broadcast from different studios, don't speak to each other, and
shouting at
hate
each
each
other.
other?
And not just that. Every single person in the interview on, like, Dimmy Mascarenhas the other day, it's like, yeah, Dimmy, how's it going?
I love that. You didn't like that. I thought it was a great episode. The bit where the Tuffer said he was decided to retire while making a sandwich, and it was a sandwich for a teammate, and he just thought, oh, I've had enough of this bollocks.
No,
And he
I
retired. That was brilliant.
couldn't even stick most of Dimmy's thing.
Oh, I loved it.
And
Well, that
why did
Dimmy,
you
by the
know?
way, is it got the second. I made up a cricket song about Dimmy Mascarenhas when I was younger. It was very akin to your Corona, and it went, "Oh, what a bit here he comes, Mascarenhas! Here he comes, this Dimmy Mascarenhas, coming to bowl is Dimmy Mascarenhas. Hey, Mascarenhas! Running with a Dimmy Mascarenhas, coming to bowl is called a Dimmy Mascarenhas. Here he comes, to bowl is called a Dimmy Mascarenhas. Hey, Mascarenhas! Coming on to bowl is a Jimmy Mascarenhas. He's not called Jimmy, he's called Dimmy Mascarenhas. The name is Dimitri, it's Dimmy Mascarenhas. Hey, Mascarenhas! Hey!
Well, that was absolutely
Hey!
pitiful.
What?
That was the Tuffers and Vaughan show. Our quick review.
That was a quick review. We segued into a quick review of the Tuffers and Vaughan show, which I think is very serviceable. Hang on, we're supposed to be reviewing Michael Vaughan's personality.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say, I can, you know, he gets in there, that sort of thing. You know, I've got... I liked one bit where he talks about his summer house. And he, you know, you get... honestly, Jim, you got to do it. You get your speakers in there. You sit back, you can listen to, you know, Killers. Quite like the Killers. He's definitely a man that listens to the Killers. I've made that up, but he definitely does, doesn't he?
There's nothing wrong with a man that enjoys a little bit of the Killers. What do you think Phil Tufnell listens to? I think he listens
Chas
to...
Chas and Dave.
Well, late 70s ska, isn't it?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, I would have thought. He probably likes Toots and the Maytals.
Maybe we should ask him.
Oh, well, coincidentally, we asked a fake Richie Beno who he was into, and he lied because he wasn't really Richie Beno. Not he didn't tell us what he was into. It was his own life and personality he was lying about. But his music choices were quite good.
Well, that's excellent. And that really gives us just about enough time, unusually today,
wow,
to have a read to some of the listeners' emails that we've been getting in worldwide and respond to them. And this is a great opportunity because normally we've just got no time. So here we go. It's listeners' emails. Emails! Quick question for you then, Ross.
Here we go.
And this is coming in from Kuram Habib.
Kuram, nice to speak to you.
So good to have you on board, Kuram. And he's got a question about Pakistan's decision to omit... the ICC's decision to omit Syed Ajmal from the ICC Test Team of the Year. Mm. And he says, guys, what do you think of this? What an outrage.
Well, it's, you know, these lists are created by probably buffoons. You know, a lot of England players have got in there, haven't they? We haven't been that good over the last year.
Yeah, well, it was Broad and Anderson and Pryor.
Pryor's had a great season. Anderson's been pretty good. Broad has been that good. I mean, I like Stuart Broad a lot. Anyway, point is, sir, Syed Ajmal is one of the great bowlers around at the moment. He's probably the best spinner, I would have thought. I'm going to go out on a limb and say he is. I think him and Steyn are way out in front.
In terms of his record in the last year,
he's incredible.
The decision to not choose him, I don't think it was nefarious in any way, but barmy. All right, time for one more quick question then, Ross.
Oh, here we go. Okay, question for Alex. I've been seeing this lad Leroy for a couple of months now.
Yeah.
And he's coming on quite strong.
Okay.
But I also think that he might be seeing another lad from around the corner. Mm. I don't know whether to confront him about it, maybe drop in a few hints that I'm angry about it, or should I just go in and face the music? What should I do?
Well, I've got to be honest. It's really embarrassing when your mum emails into the show in this way, and I've talked to her about this loads of times.
Yeah.
And I don't approve of Leroy, to start off with. He's 40 years younger than she is. So, Mum, just leave me alone. And so... as September turns to mid-September and the Olympics and the Paralympics come to an end, Ross and Alex would like to thank the listeners for their patience.
Thank you. We'd like to thank
everyone. At this trying time.
This awful time. Thank you. Thank you. Because the Olympics have ended. There is joy in our hearts. But more importantly, the Podblast goes on. Great to be back up here on this piano.
Really, really nice to see the view of you that I have right now.
Wow, that was one of our great pub blasts, wasn't it? What, top three?
Stop congratulating yourself, Ross.
Oh, it's terrific.
And sing for the people.
Next week we'll have some of the biggest issues in cricket.
We'll have World Cup.
And maybe race and cricket. Watch this space.